little break from 2 Timothy. We will be back in 2 Timothy next Sunday. Last Sunday, we began a two-parter on hindrances to hearing God. Hindrances to hearing God. Now, we don't hear voices. If we do, we might have eaten too many pork and beans the night before. So we're not talking about hearing a voice. If you hear voices, there is help for that. There might even be an app for that. There's an app for everything, right? But anyway, we're gonna talk about listening to God. Last time we mentioned some things regarding the fact that some folks have just given up. Some Christians have given up on hearing God. They feel like God doesn't really have anything to share with them. Anyway, after all, God only speaks to preachers and missionaries and folks that are in full-time Christian work. But we began looking last time at 10 factors, and there are at least 10. There are many more, I'm sure, that hinder our hearing God. Number one, we saw last time, we don't know God. Now, I'm not talking about one that's not saved. Obviously, if you're not born again, you have not the Spirit of God, and therefore the voice of God, the only voice you're going to hear if you hear anything, and of course it's an inaudible voice, is you need to repent and trust me. Something like that. Otherwise, of course, there's no reason God would speak to someone that doesn't know him. We looked at Philippians 3, 7 through 14. Let me say it one more time before we move on. Knowing God by J.I. Packer. If you don't have the book, go on thriftbooks.com. I'm sure you can get a copy for a little of nothing because it's an old book. But J.I. Packer, it was one of my textbooks in Bible college. Knowing God, not knowing him in salvation, but after that. Paul wrote a lot about that in Philippians 3, 7 through 14. You can look at that again. We're not going to go back and look at it this morning. Number two, a poor self-image. A poor self-image. Again, some feel God only speaks to preachers and missionaries. But we're all God's children, and fathers naturally want to communicate with their children. They want their children to listen to them. And so we have that intimate relationship with our children. God is no different. But we have to see ourselves as God sees us, children who need to hear from God, who need God's direction, who need God's wisdom. Psalm 139 is that great psalm. We referred to some of the passages there and how God has a perfect knowledge of us and he abundantly loves us just as we are. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our innermost fears. He knows our hurts. He knows our frustrations, yet he still wants intimacy because Jesus has chosen to dwell in us, these earthen vessels. Number three, a false sense of guilt. We talked about two kinds of guilt. There's a true kind. That's the kind we should be guilty. If we sin and don't confess it, should we be guilty? Should we feel guilt? Of course. But there are many times when a particular sin will be brought to our minds, whether it be by the flesh or by a demon or whatever, something we've done in the past that's under the blood. We've been forgiven. We've been cleansed. But yet we still carry this guilt for something we can't do anything about. It's already done. It's been forgotten as far as the east is from the west. It's been buried in the depths of the sea, washed away by the blood of Jesus. And so we need to stop carrying a false sense of guilt. And otherwise we're gonna think, you know, God will never accept me. God will never hear me. God will not speak to me. I will not hear his voice. And we will be filled with guilt, so much so that even our thought process will be riddled with guilt. And we'll never get any place for God. This morning, by the way, your guilt and burden were nailed to the cross with Christ. Your guilt and burden were nailed to the cross with Christ. Number four, business slash busyness. Romans chapter 8, if you turn your Bible there, Romans 8. We live in a pretty busy time, don't we? Now, I must admit that a lot of it is busyness we put upon ourselves because we're so sports crazy, aren't we? And we're busy doing all kinds of stuff. And by the way, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with sports. Please don't misunderstand me. I like to take Scotty out there and beat him in golf as much as I possibly can. Why are you laughing back there? I don't know if you believe this or not, but God really kind of wants us to enjoy life. How many of you believe that? Say amen. Yeah, but not only does God want us to enjoy life, but he wants us also to make a difference in this life for his glory. So the key word in the Christian life is, George, what is it? Key word?
Balance.
Balance. We got to stay balanced. Priorities have to be balanced out. We should have goals in life, and some of those goals are going to be spiritual if we're walking hand in hand with Christ. Even though we are busy, we cannot shirk our responsibilities at home, can we? Certain things have to be done. We need to get them done. We can't shirk that responsibility. We cannot and should not shirk our responsibility at church, whether it be church attendance or serving God in and through the church. And certainly we can't shirk our responsibilities on the job. If we walk in the Spirit, we're led by the Spirit of God, then we can do all these things that are required of us, and we can do it with a spring in our steps and a smile on our face. But we need God. If we try to live our lives the way God wants us to live it, in the energy of the flesh, the Bible says, so that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Look at Romans 8 and verse number 8. Pretty clear. So that then they that are in the flesh, living in the energy of the flesh, not led by the Spirit, but led by the flesh, we can't please God. We just can't. Someone unsaved can't please God. But a child of God that is living in the realm of the flesh, the old nature, cannot please God either. Verse number 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And Paul is answering the question, will I hold out? Will I last as a Christian? And he's talking here in Romans 8 about the Holy Spirit's work in the believer. He said, for the law of the Spirit of life, the principle of life in the Spirit, and soul in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law or the principle of the law of sin and death. So the Holy Spirit's work in the believer regarding our flesh, verses 1 through 13. He talks about our new position, verses 1 through 5. We know that we cannot obtain salvation through the law, because of sin, and law can't condemn the believer because God condemned and punished sin in Christ. So we are made free. For what the law, verse 3, could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. The law itself wasn't weak. Paul says in Romans 7 that the law is holy and just and good. The law is perfect. Nothing wrong with the law. That's directly from God. That's like the mind and heart of God. But what makes it a failure is our sin nature, the flesh, the old man. So the law cannot save. Why? Because we're not perfect. Now, if we could keep the law like Jesus did without any sin, then it could save, couldn't it? But we can't. We always fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned. All. What the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, meaning that Christ did not sin nor have sin honor in him, in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Walking not after the flesh, but after the Spirit shows our gratitude, and the order of our behavior is such that we want to honor God. Christ punished sin. Thankfully, we cannot be condemned because he paid our sin debt in full. For they that are after the flesh do mind, speaks about our intention. Mind the things or follow after the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Reminding us that when we are in Christ, do we think the same as we did before? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We are not conformed, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we're not the same. We shouldn't be. We shouldn't think the same, act the same. Priorities shouldn't be the same. Things we love shouldn't be the same. Bible says we love the world, the love of God's not in us. So we have either our sinful nature is in control or the Spirit of God, but not both. The one we think the most of, the one that we delight the most in, that's who's in control. For to be carnally or fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Again, can't be on both sides. It's either death or life and peace. So we're busy. But the Lord wants to be in the midst of all that we say or do. No matter what we do, we have this distinction, and it's wrong. It's just not right, between what we call sacred and secular. There is no sacred a secular distinction in the Word of God. Because does the Spirit indwell every believer? Yes, right? Is that only on Sunday and Wednesday? How often does God's Spirit indwell every believer? Always. So even if we're on the golf course, God's there and he's indwelling us, and we are to live a life that honors him there or at work or at home. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, the Lord is to be in the center of it all, is he not? In a wire wheel, he's the hub. The spokes are the various aspects of our lives, different activities, different things we have to do, different responsibilities. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the hub that holds it all together. And as soon as we forget that he's to be the hub that holds it all together, the spokes are flailing loosely, and tires don't do well when they don't have all the spokes, do they? So busyness is not an excuse. Well, I don't have time to really hear God because I got all this stuff going on. Well, if Christ is in the center of it all, then he's going to want to speak to us as we go through our daily lives, because he is, again, in the midst of all that we say or do. But it's easy to miss his still small voice in the midst of the loud voices of society, the madness of our world. If we allow it to happen, it can drown out the voice of God. Now, we can come to the end of a hectic, crazy day in perfect peace, in joy and settledness. A day of havoc can turn into a night of rest if we have walked with him throughout the day and abided in his presence. So So again, we cannot separate secular and spiritual. And therefore, we can listen to God even in a hectic, mass confusion environment, and the result can be strength and peace. But if we put God in the closet or stick him in the trunk of the car or the glove box of the car, and we think we can go it on our own, we will on those days be weary and battle scarred. You ever had days where you know that you were not walking with God as you should have been, and you got home and you were a frazzled mess? And other days where you just had a good day of communion with God, you had him in the forefront, and the day went much better. And when you got home, there was a sense of settledness and peace and rest. And the only difference, things were just as bad both days, humanly speaking. The only difference is Christ was in the forefront. And we were led by the Spirit that day instead of the flesh. This Christian life thing is not just saying a prayer and then we know we're not going to hell. And we do this church thing once or twice a week. And then we can do our own thing the rest of the time. It's kind of like the mentality with money. You know, I don't set an amount on giving because God doesn't. Not biblical giving. If someone's going to give cheerfully, it's between them and God. You heard me say this a zillion times. I'm not going to browbeat you into giving money. But it is wrong for us to have this mentality that if we give 10%, that some people have come up with that magic number, if we give 10%, then 90% we can blow it any way we want to. That's not the biblical view of money. The biblical view of money is it all belongs to God. It's not how much we give, it's how much we keep and what we do with it. That's between us and God. That's a personal thing, okay? And we've got to be careful because we can have that same mentality with our time. Well, you know, I go to church Sunday morning and I go to church Wednesday night, which very few do, but some go to church Wednesday night and the rest of the time is mine. I can do what I want, go where I want, do whatever. It's not anybody's business, not even God's. And then we wonder why we're miserable, why we're frazzled, why our jobs get us so turned inside out, and why we're having so much trouble with the kids, and why our marriage isn't what we think it ought to be. Well, it's because God is kind of down on the list. You put God on top. And remember what the Lord said? He said, seek ye first the what?
Kingdom of God.
The kingdom of God. And then all these things shall be? We flip it. I got all this stuff. I'm hectic. I'm busy. I got this business I got to attend to, and I got all this stuff going on. And then when I get done with all that, then maybe I'll seek the kingdom. If we walk in the Spirit, we can do all these things and still commune with the Father. There will be time for it all. Number five, unbelief. Another reason why we have difficulty hearing the voice of God, unbelief. Hebrews 11. I think we might have mentioned this verse last time. Hebrews 11 and verse number 6. Hebrews 11. And verse 6, for without faith it's impossible to please him. Faith, trusting him, relying upon him, putting our total confidence in him. Same root as believe. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. So if we're going to have a relationship with the living God, we must believe, first of all, that he is exactly who he claims to be. And then that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There are many that do not believe. They lack the faith that God speaks today. Again, I'm not talking about an audible voice. God will speak sometimes through circumstances. He'll direct our path. He'll open doors, close doors. And we can know it's the hand of God. We should believe also that God speaks to us personally about finances. He speaks to us about our families. He speaks to us about business. He speaks to us personally about our frustrations and our hurts. I mean, God wants to be that involved. Of course, he speaks to us through the Bible. That's why we should read it, study it, meditate upon it. And he will speak sometimes, even parents, he'll use our children. He'll use our children sometimes. That doesn't mean little Junior is going to go up and say, "Dad, I got a message from God. You know, he told me to tell you." That's not what I'm talking about. Just something that child does or says or suggests or points out that God grips you and says, that's from me. Parents, same with children. The Lord can use, of course, messages and teaching. And believe it or not, husbands, you ready for this one? God will sometimes speak through your wife. And wives, sometimes God speaks through your husband. I can't tell you the number of times that God spoke through Barbara. I miss that voice. But if we don't believe that God speaks today, we're going to miss out on much of what God has to share through his Holy Spirit, through his word, through other people and circumstances. Do you believe that God still speaks? Does he speak to you? We're going to have to put Mary back on the prayer list. See, I took her off. Now she's coughing again. You're going to have to be always, you know, we used to put prayer requests in the bulletin and they'd be typed, you know. And some were kind of semi-permanent. That would be Mary. Bless your heart. Is all this rain and nastiness getting to you, Mary? Well, we'll keep praying, okay? Number 6, God directed anger. God directed anger. Romans 8:28. Somebody want to quote that for me? Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are the called according to his purpose. There you go. Thank you, Gary. But sometimes we get angry. Something will happen in our lives we don't agree with. It's something hard. It's something painful. And so we get angry, we get frustrated, and when we pray, our prayers are more of a complaint session with God, or sometimes we're even hostile. I had a family member that got mad at God. His finances changed dramatically, and he blamed God. He didn't blame the fact that he was spending money like it was going out of style, and he built a mansion before he sold the last mansion. You know, you can't. It's probably good to sell a house before you buy another one, unless you're independently wealthy. Well, we can't get mad at God when we do stupid things. I mean, a number of stupid things I've done since I've been saved over 47, almost 47 years. Listen, I can't blame God for that. It's me. It's my fault. Well, sometimes when we pray and we're mad at God, we get bitter, we get resentful, we get hostile. Maybe the anger and hostility is toward that other person or some other person. Well, if we're angry and hostile toward another person, that's going to block the voice of God. Certainly, if we're mad at God, that's going to block his voice. When someone prays with that anger, having those feelings, they're going to surface. Now, God understands, God knows, but God will block our spiritual ears if we're not clinging to Christ. God-directed anger will hinder us hearing the voice of God. Number 7, harboring sin. Hebrews 10, verse number 26. For if we sin willfully, those were presumptuous sins in the Old Testament. If we sin willfully after that we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. I mean, the Lord has delivered us from the bondage of sin. And though we are still in the flesh, still in this body, and we still have a sin nature, and sometimes we're going to sin, it doesn't excuse our sin. And so God wants us to confess it, admit it, call sin, sin. Ask God to forgive us and cleanse us, to keep that prayer channel open. Willful, presumptuous sins block the voice of God. Harboring sin is different than committing a sin. Harboring is knowing it's present, and God's put his finger on it, and God has let us know it's present, and we don't do anything about it. We hang on to it. That's harboring a sin. It's like static on the radio. Remember the good old days with television sets and the rabbit ears? I mean, maybe a 0.5% of the time you could get a picture on your black and white television that didn't have a ghost in it. Sometimes you had 3 or 4 of them. Static on a radio, you listen to Sirius XM radio now, it's crystal clear, HD quality. But man, back in the day, I traveled to Wisconsin. I could listen to the same radio station from here all the way to Madison. Back in the day, remember constantly, I got to find, you know, you listen to something really good, and then you just about get to the good part, and it would fade out, and it'd be all static. Oh, yeah, it was irritating, wasn't it? Well, that's how it is. We're trying to hear God's voice. We got all this sin and stuff in the way, and there's all kinds of static, and we're not hearing the voice. If we have consistently prayed about a problem and God is silent, probably the best thing we can do at that point is to look within. Look within. If God reveals sin, we need to get rid of it. Because if we don't, if we're not willing to get rid of it, well, why should he speak? Number 8, a rebellious spirit. 1 Samuel chapter 15, you know the story of Saul. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. 1 Samuel 15. Saul got the big head and thought he could do things God didn't intend for him to do. He wasn't a priest. He's a king. And he had clear instructions, but he thought he knew better. None of us would fall in that category, would we? Verse 22, 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Talking about sacrifices. "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." Two things God hates. "Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and done what you want. Saul, you did your own thing. He hath also rejected thee from being king." A rebellious person, if they should happen to pray. Most won't pray if they're in a state of rebellion, but some will. And if they do happen to pray when they're in this state of rebellion, have this mindset of rebellion, they certainly don't want to hear God. Sometimes when, to back up just a minute, sometimes when we have sin in our lives and we're not willing to confess and forsake it, and the voice of God is blocked, we may even stop consistently reading the Bible because we know that God speaks to us through the Bible, and we don't really want to hear God tell us that our lives are out of line with his will. Does that make sense? I know if I read the Bible, God's going to tell me that what I'm doing is wrong, and I really don't want to hear that because I'm enjoying my sin. God speaks to the heart of that rebellious person and says, "You need to confess this sin." Number 9, rejecting God's messengers. Acts chapter 9, rejecting God's messengers. Acts 9, verses 1 through 5. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter, murder, against the disciples of the Lord, went into the unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, the way of Christ, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And that, of course, was Jesus in his full radiant glory. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks, which, of course, were goads or sticks to prod cattle. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And that's exactly what he did. Sometimes a man may not want to hear God speak to him through his wife, or a wife may not want to hear God speak to her through her husband. But when we turn one another off, who are we really turning off? We're not turning off the wife. We're not turning off the husband. We're turning off God. And of course, God may want to speak to us, as I mentioned before, not only through the wife and the husband, sometimes through the children. God knocked Paul down and blinded him. Doesn't sound too much like too much fun, does it? Sometimes the circumstances of God speaking to us, sometimes they're not pleasant. But God still spoke to him. Jesus knocked him to the ground, and he made him blind for a time, but he still spoke. Number 10, untrained to listen. Jesus often asked, if you have ears to hear, then hear. Obviously, if one is unsaved, they won't have ears to hear. But we can also have our ears plugged with all kinds of things like we just talked about, sin being one of them. Tools to help us hear. I wrote down a verse I thought was good to go along with this point, Proverbs 20 and verse 12. Proverbs 20 and verse number 12. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. And of course, the main point of that verse is what we say should match what we do, but I thought it was fitting that God has created our ears both physically and spiritually so that we can hear. And he also made our eyes that we can see. Tools to help us here. Number one, ask questions. God, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to show me? God has the answers. Ask questions. And number two, anticipate God speaking. Anticipate God's speaking. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 8. Hebrews 13, verse number 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same in character. He's the same in nature. And so we can trust him. Scriptures promise that God will speak, and we should take God at his word. Being eager to hear him, he still speaks today. We should respond to what we hear. We should respond to what we hear. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 9. Proverbs 28, verse 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. disastrous results. These are prayers that God will not hear. We're not sure about what God wants us to do. We should move in the direction that we sense He wants us to go in. And sometimes we'll move the wrong direction. I have to think that one of two things are true regarding my experience at Berkeley Baptist. Number one, God never really wanted me to go there to start with, or God wanted me to learn some very difficult, painful lessons before I came here. I mean, I've never doubted. You probably have doubted. Man, I know this one. No, I mean, I've never doubted that God wanted me here. I've never doubted. Now, it'd be 7 years next month. You realize that? And I've never doubted. But it didn't take long before I doubted whether Berkeley was where God wanted me, or whether I just stepped out in the flesh, or indeed, did God want to prepare me in some specific way for this ministry? I don't know. So but in order to for God to steer us, a lot easier, I use the illustration of power steering. You got power steering, it's easy to steer a vehicle, even if you're sitting still. You don't have power steering, and you try to steer a vehicle, until you're moving, it's very hard to steer, right? I got this old 1310 Ford diesel tractor that doesn't have power steering. I mean, it's a workout to use that thing, especially when you're not moving very much. But God, as we move, we don't want to get ahead of God. Sometimes we do, but God will steer us. He wants us moving, not sitting there. Well, I can't really do anything. I don't really know for sure. Well, if we never move, we'll never know. Remember young Samuel? And God spoke to him. Remember that? Did he recognize God's voice at that point? No, he had to go to Eli, and Eli didn't know much more than he was really something, Eli. But finally, Samuel realized, and Eli finally did say, well, that's the voice of God. Two more. Number four, and this is part of the last point, untrained to listen. Number four, be alert to confirming events. Be alert to confirming events. In his prayer after he had sinned, and David was asking God for forgiveness and cleansing in Psalm 32. This is a great psalm. Verses 8 and 9, I will, God saying, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or the mule, which hath no understanding, whose mouth must be held or harnessed in with bit and bridle to make them move, lest they come near unto thee. So God wants us to pay attention. God said He will guide us, He will instruct us. And the reason that we were pardoned from our sin in the first place is to follow Him and live for Him. So He speaks, we obey, and He confirms that we're going the right direction. And then number five, we should ask God to speak to us. Ask Him to speak to us. Psalm 4, verse number 1. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress, or relieved me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. And then Psalm 18, verse number 6. Psalm 18, verse number 6. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of His temple, and my cry came before Him, even into His ears. So it's a good thing for us to tell God, Lord, I'm available to hear, I want to hear. And God will show us solutions to problems. He will show us the way in which we should go. So God is always ready to listen anytime we are ready to talk to Him. The question is, are we ready to listen to Him? E. Stanley Jones said this, talk with God, no breath is lost. Walk with God, no strength is lost. Wait on God, no time is lost. Trust in God, and you will never be lost. And then he said, the one where I told you in Sunday school, can't sleep. He said, pray to God. I said, can't sleep. Less medication, more meditation. But again, there are exceptions to that. I'm speaking in generalities. Let's stand together for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, for this brief little study on hindrances to hearing you. And Lord, we want to hear your voice. And sometimes we get busy and we kind of block you out and we substitute things that shouldn't be substituted for your fellowship and to hear your voice. So God, help us to indeed take to heart the things we've looked at. And Lord, we're eager to hear. Help us not just to hear, but to do, to be doers of the word. We're going to thank you, Lord, for what you do. If there's one here lost without the Savior this morning, give that one the courage to come and say, Pastor, I'm not saved, but I want to be. Or I'm not sure that I'm saved, but I want to have assurance. So work in our midst, Holy Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, amen.